gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you pray the new person who come up there. We thank you, O Lord, for this sweet service you've been allowed to go in. We thank you for this little church here with many precious members, Lord, over in my mind. We need to thank you. For we have gathered here in this devoted spot and have felt our manifest presence and lift it up to worship you. So, Lord, we come today as needy, not most of what we've ever been. We come to our Father, Lord, in heaven. We come asking, Lord, that we bless these dear elders that come before us. Grant them liberty and your calling. Thank you for the gift that I've given each of them. Thank you for the strength that God has given them to be faithful in studying thy word. We ask, O Lord, that thou would release their tongue, that they might share with us the wonderful ministry of reconciliation. We might hear about how we were reconciled under the Lord by the work of thy darling Savior. How that our sins were taken away, Lord, and our righteousness was given unto us. And that we didn't do anything to earn or merit that, O Lord, but it was all by our wonderful and amazing grace. O Lord, just help us to not only hear about that, but to feel it in our hearts and in our minds and our souls, that we might find peace. And truly, O Lord, if thou hast reconciled us, that we might be reconciled unto thee. O Lord, live our life in a way of honor, praise, and glorify thee. Lord, for all those that have been mentioned this morning, we just thank you that we have such a God who commits to trouble and trial and being overwhelmed and we can lean upon. And Lord, thou hast been faithful. Thou hast been with us, Lord. Thou will not leave us nor forsake us. Thou hast promised that thou will be with us in every trial and every trouble. We ask, Lord, that thou be with us today in this service. Be with those that we have mentioned, O Lord, going through trying circumstances, Lord, just supply not what we want, Lord, but that which is best. Lord, nevertheless, if we ask these things within your quest and make our feelings known unto thee, and thou knowest our heart already, Lord, all things are naked and open to thee. Oh, Lord, because of that, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, not our will, that Lord promised to pray. Nevertheless, not our will, but thy will be done. Lord, just help us to feel that in our hearts and our souls. Bless this meeting with our honor, our praise, and our glory. Bless this little church, O Lord, as thou wouldst see fit to add to this little church and all of our little churches. Lord, we know thou art the one that is that. We look to thee for that. We thank thee, O Lord, for all of the past blessings, for what we're feeling today, and the future promise of the daily blessings sufficient for the hour and the moment of me. That's such a good God. We can thank you enough and praise you. Help us to do it better, we pray. That we come to that time to leave this old world and carry us on to be with you, Lord. In that place, there'll be no more sorrow, sadness, sickness, death, or any other thing. And it's all because of you and what thou hast done for us today. We ask these things, O Lord, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior.
The church at Black Rock is not called Black Rock Primitive Baptist Church. It's called Black Rock Particular Primitive Baptist Church. showing its roots to England, as far as I know. The brethren must not have objected to it, because that's where they met to make the separation with the new folks on the block that wanted to change everything. I had an old school Baptist preacher tell me years ago I had to go change that sign. This is true. He didn't say it once, he said it over and over and over. I told him that's what was on the paperwork, that's what it's called, that's what it was organized as. And in 1981, after it had not been active for a while, it was reestablished under the exact same thing that it was before. I had sat there waiting to come up here and read Isaiah 43, but it switched in the prayer to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 9. And before we start, let me just say that prayer to me is the most powerful thing on earth that we can do. The Spirit of God is superior to all that, but as far as we're concerned, we're told that man ought always to pray. Some people say this is the Lord's Prayer. I don't believe it. I think the Lord's Prayer is in John 17. But anyway, it said, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Oftentimes, I find myself calling out to God in various and sundry different places. Coming down a road today, before I got out of bed this morning. And that was, I woke up about 3, I think, and fought to stay in the bed till about 4. Didn't go back to sleep. But anyway, some people, I remember a deacon. He's dead and gone. There's no need of naming him. But he come up to me one time before he died. He says, I always pray for the brethren, but I never pray for myself. I'm thinking, wow, I'm the worst one I know. I got to pray for me more than the rest of you. And anyway, I told him that, and he says later on, said, you know, I done that, and I feel really relieved. Really helped me, or something like that. He was tickled. I just couldn't see a deacon in the old Baptist church not praying for himself. You know, I pray I get here. I pray I get home. Several times coming to the meetings down south this year, I've really not known if I was going to get home or not. Old car's 15 years old and it started. I got out and I checked all the tires. I looked at the gauge. It didn't say anything about being low. I felt them. They weren't hot. I looked. I couldn't see anything. Got in it. Run away for a while and then. You get over 30 mile an hour, it's just like, hey, I don't want to go. But being a stubborn hillbilly, country boy more like it, I went on home. But after it cooled off outside, it runs fine. Took it to the garage. You'd like to never found out what was wrong with it, but there was the caliper that was messed up. And it was pulling the brake whether I wanted it to or not. But anyway, the mechanic was good to me. He only charged me $80 or $100 plus the parts. So. But after this manner, therefore pray ye. This is our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When you talk to God, you need to make it personal. And Jesus is saying, our. Did you notice he included himself in that?
Yeah.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're told that we are to exalt his name above every name that's ever been named. We're told that we are to bow down and to worship him. We're told that we are to have no other gods before him. Another deacon, we used to meet in a deacon's house. When they got old and couldn't get to the church. And one of the members at the other church told me, I don't like to go in there. They got too many of those statues. It wasn't gods or anything. It was just horses. I wouldn't have them, but that's what they had. That upset her. This is the same sister that didn't like being called a thing. Do sisters like to be called a thing? Jesus Christ, before he was born, was called a thing. That good thing which is in her is of the Holy Ghost. She didn't like her name, Beulah. And I told her about Beulah land. Some people get opinionated over silly stuff. I guess we all do. But it said, after this manner, Christ has given us the manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You cannot, and it bothers me if you're reading or watching TV or whatever it is, every time something happens, it's, oh my, I don't want to hear that. I don't. You use his name in a concentrated way. In a way that you're hallowing his name, you're honoring his name, and you're honoring his being. Hallowed be thy name. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is come. But one sweet day, he's going to descend in the clouds. And all them in the tomb's going to come forth. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Oh, what a day that will be. Talk about coming down. You'll be in heaven in an immortal glory with the Son of God. Thy will be done in earth. It doesn't say on earth. It says in earth. I sometimes think it's in these earthly vessels. In these earthly vessels. As it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now you might think that all is talking about what we eat. I don't think so. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Sing that song, it's 37 in the older book, hungry, faint, and poor. That's where we are today. No matter how much of this world's goods you might have, we are poor, weak, and worthless, and hungry, faint, and poor in the sight of a covenant-keeping God. Bearing in mind that He loves us. As you've already heard this morning, He loves us. Set His love upon us before we were even a part of the universe. Before there was a people, if you will. You can't go back any further than that, try as you might. I don't have much. Well, matter of fact, the button or the mute button or the off button or whatever is always hit. If they start talking about, they just discovered this new prehistoric creature, 4 million years old. They measured it how? They compared it to what? Nothing. You know, the old story says, figures don't lie, but liars can figure. That's what I think about those people. The nation of Israel got daily bread. Physical food. And wouldn't you think, if you're out in the wilderness eating the children's or the angels' bread, that you'd be content? No. We want the leeks and the melons back in Egypt. We want flesh to eat. We want. Well, they got it. Some of them didn't live very long. Some of them didn't even finish eating before they died. But give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The debtors are our debtors. People have a hard time with that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Bill Stevens always told me what his dad said. He said, my dad always said you can't keep a bird or something from landing on your head, but you can keep him from building a nest. Deliver us from evil. What must it be like? What was it like? Back when you were brought out of nature's darkness to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, brought out of that wickedness and out of the temptations and into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, and could walk free, cleansed, saved, if you will. Oh, how sweet that was. But that does not compare to heaven and immortal glory. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The kingdom belongs to God. The power belongs to God. And the glory belongs to God forever. I marvel at how much that folks in the world try to act like God. Judges, anybody that's wise and smart, he wants to act like God. Some of them don't know nothing, wants to act like God. But the point is that God is God. There is no other God. Period. Full stop. These folk think that I figured out all this equation over here. I've got a grandson that when you read the old pi times 3 point whatever, he can go out like 19. It's useless. I studied a little bit of algebra until I decided I didn't want it and I quit. But that being said, if I want to pour concrete, I just do it the old-fashioned way. Yard of concrete will cover 27 square foot. 81 cubic yards. It's not that hard. But you need a point. Well, let me tell you, you do not need a formula to go to heaven. You're wrapped up in the love of a covenant-keeping God who said, I will be thy clean. And you're made to know that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but there is one that is able. And he sent his darling son to hang between the heavens and the earth and pour out his blood half to the former sea and half to the latter sea to cleanse every hair of salvation. Oh, praise his holy name. You try and beat that one. I mean, I know some people can preach longer and better and all that. That's not what I'm saying, but what I'm talking about is the love of God. He loves you in spite of yourself. You know, sometimes if you've really messed up, it's kind of hard to get down on your knees and call out to God. But he knows everything you've ever done. This is probably not that bad. Might hurt you more because your conscience is made a lie. You know, like people say, if I believed what you do, I'd sin all I want to. I do, and more. Because we don't want to. Because we love God. Because he loved us with an everlasting love. He's told us how to pray. He's told us how to walk. He's told us everything we need to know. All you got to do, read it, accept it, and put it in action. You know, our parents tried to raise us. I guess I should take that back. My parents tried to raise me. The oven took off. But Dad, he tried his best. And it might have looked like it didn't work. a few years after I'd been gone. Back in Richard Nixon's heyday. And I went and told my dad, I said, there's two things you're not supposed to talk about. That's religion and politics. He said, well, I won't talk to you about that. And I said, Dad, that's why I came. I came to talk to you because I know something about what you told me and what you preached your entire life, as long as I was alive. And all the other brethren. Got it up here, but it took a while to get down here. But when it did, it went together. I went down there and I talked to him, and my Uncle Leonard was there. He never did use my name right, but he said, well, Bond, he is plain to see that the Lord has begun a good work in you, and if he has, he will finish it till the day of Jesus Christ. Now, that sounds a whole lot better than anything I heard all the way down the road.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Does an old sinner good when he's changed. And what he used to love, he hates. And what he used to hate, he loves. I mean, this is the one after all that said when he was been dragged around or whatever to the old school Baptist meeting house, when I get old in the church of my life, I'll never step foot in one of them buildings in my life. That wasn't a lie, because I don't control it.
But I started to say it was a lie. I was standing up there, but what were you talking about?
Things.
Huh? Actually, they're not new, but I've only just recently started wearing them. I have, and as soon as the pollen season's over, I'm hoping that I'll be able to get back to them again, but there's, each year that takes longer and longer. I've enjoyed what's gone before. The thoughts that have been on my mind are about the kingdom of God and the blessing that it is for us as God's children. I've looked forward to the meeting. I've been fearful of the meeting. It's been one of those mornings where it looked like the Lord has withheld and withheld and withheld, you know, to remind me that it's not about me. It's not about what I can do. It's not about you and what you can do. It's about Him and with whom we have to do. So I have some scripture that I want to read in your hearing this morning. And I ask you to be in prayer for me. And to be in prayer for one another that the Lord will lift us above the cares of this world for a little season. It's found in the book of Revelation. In the 22nd chapter, and I want to begin reading in the 12th verse. It says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The very end of the Word of God. The prophecy is sealed. And what we are given, what is revealed to us to know, is closed on what those words. And the Apostle John has been speaking in the beginning part of this chapter. And in the chapter before, in the 21st chapter, we see a beautiful picture of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the kingdom that comes down from heaven, that kingdom of heaven that's here for you and me today. When shortly before our Lord's going to the cross of Calvary, he told the Pharisees that the kingdom would be taken from them and given to a nation and bringing forth the fruits thereof. And later than that, he told the disciples that I appoint unto you a kingdom, for we would sup with God, and they would sit on 12 thrones judging 12 tribes of Israel. That kingdom was surely set up by our Lord and Savior. It began with our Lord's coming. We might use language like it was in its infant stage, very beginning. And after our Lord's crucifixion, the apostles understood. I don't know how much they understood in fullness about the kingdom, but they understood that it was here. And on the day of Pentecost, the Lord descended with his Spirit upon the disciples there. And the church began to function, not independent of the Lord, but in the absence of his physical presence. He's still being here through his Spirit. He's still being here walking and talking and being with us every day. And John has been describing that in a way described that looks like the city of Jerusalem, because that's what the disciples would have been familiar with. But of course, what he is describing is that kingdom that comes down from heaven. The bride of Christ. The church of the true and the God. And he spends that chapter and a half there showing the church in its glory. In other words, he's showing the church as God has revealed to him and as you and I get a glimpse of it when we're truly in the Spirit. When the flesh has been subdued by our Lord and Savior further than we would be able to do it at all, and we're lifted above the cares of this world, and we're lifted above who we are, and we see the kingdom and His King. And He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Now, I don't need to tell you all that He's not talking about eternal things here. He's not even talking about us measuring up to God. But what He is saying is that if we, as God's little children, as Brother Gary read, you know, he that asks shall receive. He that knocks shall be opened to him. If we long after, if we desire after, if we press into our Lord, our God, our Savior Jesus Christ, we will receive. We will be blessed. That's not about us earning it. That's not about us getting good enough. That is about God the Son blessing His people as is good in His sight. And yes, He'll chastise us when we fail to act as we ought to. And we don't think of it that way, but you know, that's been a great blessing in my life. The number of times I've been corrected and chastised and showed where I have fallen short and how I've fallen short that I might know better next time. And I know that there are those who think that the kingdom is yet come. But I remember our Lord saying in both Matthew and Mark that there'll be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of God coming in His glory with the holy angels. So the idea that the kingdom isn't here just would mean that our Lord and Savior was wrong. You see. My reward is with me to give every man work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am the beginning of all that is. I am the creator of all that is. I was with the Father in the beginning, and we spoke this world into existence, and everything that exists is here because I have created it, because I have sustained it. I was there before the hills were formed. I was there before the things that scientists contemplate over. You know, the beast, it was what you said, 4 million years. I mean, when we were away on the trip, it was a big boulder out on the bay there on the beach, different than all the other rocks, or the majority of the other rocks that were there, and had a plaque there saying that thing was moved by glaciers from what they believe such and such place, you know, about 10 or 15,000 years ago. I remember I read the sign, I said to Carolyn, I said, "Oh, our Lord just picked it up in the flood about 4,500 years ago and put it there," you see. That's the reality of it.
Yeah.
We don't have to be able to explain all the things that men look at and ponder about. But what we need to understand is that what He who gave us these things has said is true,
yeah,
regardless of whether we can understand that or not.
Yeah.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am the one, He says, yes, that you are accountable to. But remember this, I am the one who bore your sin on the cross of Calvary. I am the one who with the Father chose you from before the foundation of the world.
I am the one who was anointed and came into this world and endured the suffering of the cross for my love for you. And I will be here to carry you through every moment of every day and every situation and every circumstance. And when you close your eyes in death, I'll be there to receive you home. And not just you, but in the generations to come afterward, if the Lord doesn't, until the Lord comes back again. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that do his commandments. I kind of like the way that's worded there. He didn't say, hold it all together.
Yeah.
What about those who press in towards the mark for the prize of the high calling? Those of us who fail every day and fall short every day, and old Satan would love to tell you that you haven't measured up, so there's no need to keep going. And plenty of others will look at certain circumstances and situations in the lives of others and say, they haven't measured up. There can't be anything there for them. But I'm telling you this, that when we press into our Lord Jesus Christ, understanding, as he told the disciples, that if you try, ye shall fail. But keep moving on. Keep trying to be more like him. Keep trying to walk in the pattern that he's given us. Yes, we're doing the commandments. Not in perfection. Not like he did them, and never will. And nothing that we ever do will earn us anything before God. But God has promised that if we press in, you know, if we ask, will we receive? If we seek, shall we find? If we pray the Lord, will he hear our prayers and answer them? If we come to the gathering of the church, will not the Lord bless us? Not because we've done it good enough, but because the Lord has promised that to us. That they might have right to the tree of life. And that word right doesn't mean like, you know, you earned it. It doesn't mean it's some inalienable thing. What it means is it's the privilege to have fellowship with the Son of God. That which Adam took away, had in the Garden of Eden the opportunity, and threw all that away. And our Lord and Savior has restored that to you and me today. Psalms, I can't remember which psalm now, but it says that I restored that which I took not away. I don't remember which psalm that comes out of. Always rung out as me, as you know, Adam took it away, but the Lord restored it when he came and when he entered on the cross and purchased that for you and me in his own body there. And that you may enter in through the gates. What city is he talking about? He's not talking about the land over there next to the Jordan River. He's talking about the kingdom of God, the new Jerusalem that's come down from heaven, from God, and that you and I may sup with God as the disciples did and have fellowship with God and rejoice in him while we're living here on this earth. See, this isn't about the future, something that's going to happen whenever at the very end of time. This is about God's people throughout the New Testament age, however long we're here, having fellowship with God and rejoicing in God and being lifted above the vanity of this old world in the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we may enter into the city, the kingdom, the church, the true and living God, and rejoice in spiritual
happen. It says, for without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie.
What's outside the church?
All those things are out there. Even among God's people, those things are out there. You want to know who's got the answer to all the problems that's going on in the country today? The Lord. The problems that are going on in the world today, the Lord has the answers to those things. And why He allows things to go on like He does, I don't know, but I know this. He's got it under control, brothers. So if you begin to look in the philosophies of men, if we begin to look in our own understanding, if we begin to look in who I am or the achievements of men are, you're going to be led astray. Because that's all stuff that's without. It's outside. But when we come into the kingdom of God, when we come into the city of our Lord Jesus Christ, where the King is there, we can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of joy. And He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Is this something that belongs somewhere else? It belongs in the church. It belongs among God's people. Whether you like it or whether you don't, it's what God has sent and had them to testify in the church. I am the root and offspring of David, that promised that through David would come the Messiah and the bright and the morning star. The one who's the expressed image of the Father. One in whom the glory is present. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ that is in us and dwells with us and in us. And the bride, who's the bride? The bride of the groom. The bride of Christ. Those who are married to Christ. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come and see. Come and see what the Lord has in store for you and me. Don't worry about all the shortcomings. Don't worry about all of the things that you can point to and say, well, there's a little hypocrisy there, or there's a little this there, or there's a little that there. Look, you're going to see that anywhere because we're all just sinful people. But the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that has been blessed to see and to hear and to rejoice in the things of God in this kingdom in the New Testament age say, come. The Lord told the disciples that many kings and righteous men have desired to see the things that you see and to hear the things that you hear and have not seen. We should never take that for granted. And we should never forget that in ages before the age we live in now, that God's people were in a deeper and deeper darkness. And sometimes it seems to me like I'm dark enough that I really just don't know where I'm at or what's going on anymore. But I'm telling you, it was worse for them. And the more I see about who Jesus is, the more I see just how much I really don't know even yet. And let him that is athirst come. You know, sometimes I've read behind people and heard people talk about wanting to keep the world out of the church. If we're just preaching the gospel message, if we're just bringing forth those spiritual things and living and walking and following in that and truly going there, the world's not coming in. Because there's nothing in them to thirst after it. There's nothing in them to long after it. The Spirit of God isn't walking. But it's not up to us to keep the world out. If we just give what the Lord has given us, they'll take care of themselves for it. We don't have to find every problem ahead of time and get rid of it. We don't have to find every doctrinal error and get rid of it. We don't have to jump into the things that look like they're coming down the road, but rather wait and in due time stand back and see the salvation of God. Continue steadfastly in Him. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's no price to pay for that. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who long after the peace of God and the fellowship with God and a greater understanding of who He is and who we are and how we ought to be approaching every aspect of our life. See, we've never had any problem. Old Baptists have never had any problem with those who live. We know where that comes from. It is God that makes you to will. Both to will and to do. In other words, when we do things, remember, who gave you that? Who gave you that ability? Who gave you that strength? Who gave you that understanding? Who gave you the will that brought you there? Let Him take water of life. I hope you think about the apostles telling the brethren way back then that they're going to make merchandise. There are going to be those who try to make a living off of you, try to extort as much as they can out of you, and we look at some of the things that have gone on in the history of the New Testament. It's sad. It's sad, some of the things that people have bought into. Many of them deceived, and some deceived and deceived themselves. Let Him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. I want to just take a second. You know, at the close of the law, there was that blessing and curse. And really what we're seeing is the same thing here in the New Testament age. And He says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. And I don't mean that I believe this only pertains to the book of Revelation. I believe it's the entirety of the New Testament that's under consideration here. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written. If we start trying to devise God as we want Him to be, as we think He should be, as we imagine that we think it would be great, if we begin to add things into the kingdom of God and the church of God that have no place there, we're going to have trouble. When we begin to add things that have nothing to do with spiritual fellowship, before long will just become a worldly organization. And it's happened over and over again. And it will happen again over and over again. And my hope and prayer is that we will be amongst those that the Lord blesses to stay away from that. But if we start adding the things that we think it should be, the way we think it ought to be, we'll get all the questions, all the things that come as a result of those things. And mind you, God shall add these things. It won't just be a matter of they come, you know. It'll be a matter of the Lord brings it to pass. I mean, the children of Israel watched the temple destroyed there and had the horrible happenings all around the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Why? Because they were adding things. They were trying to keep the Old Testament kingdom past its time. And therefore, denying the one true and living God that all that service was about trying to worship. Some of those were deceived. Some probably didn't care at all. And others thought they could have a little bit of power. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that were written. You see, we can't add to the things that God's given. But we're not to take away from it either. You ever had somebody say, leave all the Bible? Well, I understand it or not. You see, when we start taking certain passages of Scripture out, then the next thing you know, we're going to end up with something that's entirely different than what God has given us. And what's going to happen? Guess what? God will take away once again. Now, he's going to take away his part. Apostle Paul made it very clear that we all see in part, know in part, and understand. And we need to understand that there's never a time when we can't grow more and learn more and seek more. But the part which the Lord has given us to see, as was the case with the disciples, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your eyes, for they hear. That's the part that they've been given. That's the part that you and I have been given to know and to understand. And it's just a part of the things that will be now. One precious day when the whole kingdom of God is carried up into heaven, this pure world. We just know in part. But even what we know today can be lost. Talking about losing the spiritual birth. I'm not talking about ceasing to be a child of God. I'm saying that the understanding that we have of the gospel truth that we have today, which the Lord has opened our eyes and revealed to us, if we neglect it, we can lose that. We can lose that. By not adhering to it, by not walking it, to whom much is given, of the same shall much be required. You and I have been given that. And all the things that we've rejoiced in. You think about how many breakings away of the church there have been for things of this world became a part of what people wanted to believe in the world. So they just do a little bit of waiting. I don't believe in predestination. Well, there's a lot of horrible things that have been taught about predestination that you don't believe and I don't believe and would have nothing to do with at all. That doesn't mean we don't believe in predestination. And the same is true of the resurrection. We don't have to understand how God will come down and speak and these bodies are going to come forth. We don't need to know that, but we know that it's coming to pass because he said it's coming. Things that you and I have received by faith and understand by faith. If we neglect those things, if we begin to live our lives contrary to those things, we'll find the things that we've been blessed to see taken away. And that may be for a little while. It may be the entirety of our life. It may be a few days, a few weeks, a few months. We're all going to go through those bad times, those times when we've neglected. And we're going to be corrected. There's no question about that. This is all in the hands of the Son of God. This isn't something that escapes His ability. But this is something He's taken away. And He can restore it just like He did in the first place. Take these things, His part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, our fellowship in the church, and from the things that are written in this book. If Jesus Christ is our joy and happiness, and we lose that in our understanding, what a sad situation it is in our job. Trust and prayer is that as we have continued, the Lord will bless us to continue, and that we'll be continued steadfastly after Him. Part of what happened to the church at Laodicea was they were lukewarm. As God's little children, there are things we should be coping, things that we won't have anything to do. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to hate the people who are involved, but the thing itself, we need to. And there are things that we should be hot after. What happened to the church of Laodicea was they weren't neither cold or hot, you see. And everything just sort of goes along. Everything looks peaceful and everything looks like, well, we're all getting along good together. But in reality, they're missing out. And they're cold to the things that should be hot about. And you can become hot about the things you should be cold about. Because everything's lukewarm. And it begins to feel like everything's about the same. And when everything feels like it's about the same, we're headed down the wrong way. The things that are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. If He comes this moment, it'll be the best day of our life. If He comes 10,000 years from now, that'll be the best day ever. But whether He comes today, but whether He comes 10,000 years from now, I'm thankful to know this. I'm going to see it. If I'm alive and remain, and the Lord descends and the shout comes, I'm going to hear. And my body is lying in the grave for 10,000 years, and the Lord comes and descends, I'm going to hear the shout. And the soul that comes back with Him is going to be reunited with that body. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. May the Lord bless and keep you.
Say good morning to each of you, and it's truly good to see each and every one of you. Thankful for the privilege and the blessing of coming this way again. I know it's kind of drawing close to the end of our meeting. Just thankful for the folks here, the there was people here at Thornton Gap that has kept things and made things available that we were able to come together and worship the Lord today. So many wonderful things have been said, and so many passed through my mind that I really have no idea where to start or where to finish. Many things passed through my mind as I listened to the brothers speak. There's, in my mind, nothing more important to us here in this life than to know the God that created this universe, created us, gives us this blessing that we have this day, so many others that I don't know how to start to talk about. Through the reading and understanding of His Word, along with the illumination of the Holy Spirit and so forth, we learn probably only a small amount here in this lifetime about God. And I'm sure some people seek and would love to know everything about Him, but we only know that portion that He has sought fit to reveal to us. You know, God is a gracious God. We hear so many things in this day and time that opposes what God has given us in His words. I think as we talk about the church that He set up here, the church kingdom in this world, and you know, sometimes it puzzles me a little bit that I see sometimes I think that there's more worshiping of that building in our times that we come together than it is our worship pointed at the foundation of the church, the cornerstone of the church, that the church was built upon. And you know, my mind has went so far from where it used to be pertaining to that to what it is today, that I wish that we and you and all of us had a way to be able to preach the truth of our thoughts pertaining to God's Word, and how important it is, as fortunate brother Forrest spoke of there in the end of the scriptures, that we don't change anything, we don't take anything from God's Word, and we don't add anything to it. God has said what He had to say. He doesn't take back what He has said. What He said is final. This book is a wonderful book. And from the beginning, and if you want to, I would say all the way through it, it's about a God of mercy. It's also about a God of wrath. His wrath is as great as His mercy is, or with the same power. He has the same power in wrath that He has in mercy and grace. That being said, today we hear people over and over and over all the time saying God loves everybody. Well, I'm going to mention a short phrase that's said in the scriptures on two or three, I think five different occasions, four occasions, I don't know for sure, in the New Testament. And one that I promise you very faithfully, no one sitting here this day would want to hear those words. And as I just finished saying, those words are final, because it was spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in a body as He walked here on this planet Earth. And those words was this: depart from me, I never knew you. And then He even said that to a group of young men there that came to Him. I think it's in the 7th chapter of Matthew where somebody was previous. That these men came, that they had been casting out demons and so forth in the name of Jesus. And He said to these men, depart from me, for I never knew you. And He said it on another occasion, I think in Matthew somewhere else. He made that same statement to five of the virgins. And I don't remember exactly where that, what book and where that came from. Depart from me, I never knew you. What a terrible statement to think about being said to one, especially one that has had, and I say that's another thing that has taken place that is beyond our capability, and it is that we all go through a nature change here in this life. We start off as a natural, brute person, and sometimes we fuss about this body and that this body is just flesh, and sometimes like it's maybe no good, but God made it in the beginning and he said it was good, and what was bad about it, we accomplished that part. He didn't have anything to do with it. But I say to you that God, by his providential care and the things that he prepares and sets forth for his people, preserved you in me and every child of God until the day that he saw fit to send his spirit and start this nature change in you that caused you to start loving things that you used to hate, didn't have any use for. Now you want to throw away that you did love and love something that you used to have no use for. And in my mind and in my thoughts, there's no possibility that this mind of mine could ever bring about a change such as that, a change of your heart and your mind and your thoughts. And what a wonderful thing it is. You know, the brother said, and I've always had, I just go back to God's word. That's where we need to go. And I love the verse of scripture, and God said it, and I take it at heart. And we say we shouldn't have anything to do with politics. But you know what politics, and you know what that when we're saying politics, we're talking about the government of the country we live in. We're told to honor that in more than one occasion. In the scriptures, we're told to honor the government for the country that you live in. As long, and that's the part where we fail on, as long as that government somewhat to the best of their ability to follow what God says they ought to be doing. David said someplace, I've remembered it many times and wished that today I could feel that it would be true in this nation. It says, blessed is the nation that feareth God. You know, if the nation feared God, the politics or whatever you want to call it, the government would be wonderful. But sometimes that's not true. And I know you know that's true, and we see it in our everyday life. We see things with corruption and confusion and so forth that God is not the author of. You know, sometimes it even gets into the church kingdom. And the thing that sometimes, as I said, we sometimes want to praise the church meeting and the number of preachers that showed up and so forth, and not send all praise and worship. You know, we're told in the scriptures that we're not to worship anything, nothing on planet Earth that we're encouraged to worship except God, him first and foremost. Worship him and nothing else. You know, I'm sure, as I sit there and think a minute ago, I'm sure that everyone here that the Lord has impressed upon him to stand before the Lord's people and speak of and preach his gospel. They will all struggle with knowledge and the ability to stand before God's people and to properly be able to speak the gospel in an edifying manner, in a manner that the people that are the sound of it would learn from it, gain something from it. We all struggle to do that. And you know, in doing so, and I'm as guilty as probably anyone else here, we look to sometimes to sources outside of the Bible. Sometimes sources that were some man's opinion about something God said. And that puzzles me when we start trying to do better than what God did with what he had to say. I think he said it, and I think sometimes we want to find it so easily that we don't look for it long enough and do as the scriptures, I think, will pretty well say, the scriptures will explain themselves. explained himself. You know, sometimes if you would just look at it from the beginning to the end with one thought in mind, and what would that thought be? From the beginning to the end, that one day, which has already taken place, that God was going to send somebody to this earth to walk in the world, redeem those that were unredeemable by their own means, make us righteous as God is here on this planet earth. Not after death, it's already happened. If it's ever going to happen, it happened 2,000 years ago, that everyone that Christ ever died for has made us as righteous as he is, and await, and I hope and pray, as maybe Forrest made mention of, that we wait with a smile on our face. And I'm not worried one second about, you know, what do they say at the end there? Lord, come quickly. And you know, as this, we say this all the time, as this world gets worse and worse. But this world is no worse today than it has been at some other time. None of us knows how long it'll be here and what the end will be. I heard somebody the other day, and this is how you can pick up things from people that speak without having any knowledge of what God's Word says. He said, not even God knows when the last day is coming. Not even God knows. The Lord Jesus Christ said he didn't know. But the Father knows, is what he said. And you know, we ought to be careful when we speak about God that we know what he said and don't say things. I hear things constantly that belittles God, makes him look like one of us, which that's probably what some people would like him to be. That he sits down and draws out plans and so forth. And that he's a beggar. He's a beggar. But then the Bible tells me that all that's here is his. It's all his. You brought nothing here with you. You won't take nothing away. It belongs to him. And he lends it to us for a little while. And we ought to be good stewards of that. That he blesses us with here in this life. I'm going to be brief. Get out of the way. A portion of scripture. I want to read it to you. As the Lord taught his disciples there. Let me mention another thing. You know, just because you had a revelation from God, and I just thought about this the other day, and I never heard it mentioned before, and I'm sure it has over and over and over, and I'm not one to say that God revealed something to me that he never has or will to somebody else, because I'm sure that's not true. But I don't even know where it's at. But you know where Peter, the Lord asked Peter, whom do you say that I am? And Peter went on to say that thou art the Son of God. And the Lord says, goes on and says, that God revealed it. That man didn't reveal that to you, that God revealed it. Well, if you go down about six verses later, what's that verse going to say? The Lord Jesus Christ, to the same man that God has just revealed to him who he was, the Lord called him Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. And that's us. And how quick we can turn if we're not in the proper relationship and our union with the Lord Jesus Christ is not the same as it is with the vine in the 15th chapter, I think it is, of John. That we are counted as a branch attached to the vine. I don't know if you ever really thought about it this way. What comes through the vine? Only what has come through Christ or come from Christ. It had to be in him to come through the vine. So what does that make us to be? We ought to be more like the branch that what fed that vine came to us through. We ought to be more like that. We ought to make every effort we can to be like that. And that's the teaching of the scripture. We love our enemies, that we love one another, that we put God first, we worship no other thing on planet earth except God, and thank him for the blessings and benefits that he affords us here in this life. I've read this verse of scripture many years back, two or three times, said by Solomon. And I think God even says in his word that Solomon was a man of probably the greatest wisdom and knowledge outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the holder of all wisdom and knowledge. But Solomon, great story with Solomon, I found that he's one of the few times that I find in our Bible that God was pleased with something that a man did. And for the what Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge to discern over his people, God granted him his wish of wisdom and knowledge. And there's so much with his wisdom and knowledge, there's so much wonderful instruction that we'll find. And I think so oftentimes we don't spend enough time reading and looking at things there that tells us how we are and how we should be and so forth and so on. But this is the verse of scripture that said that Lord, as he preached and taught and walked amongst the apostles there, he used on many, many occasions natural things of this life to explain spiritual things, although they didn't always understand, and sometimes we don't either. But he used a perfect way. He was probably the best, I don't say probably, he was the best teacher that ever walked on planet Earth. And as I said, if we go about it the right way, we'll learn a lot of valuable things from him. But I'm going to read this verse of scripture to you, found in the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes. It says, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. And I know if you probably just like me, if you've never read that verse of scripture and spent some time and thought about it and fitted it in with some other things in the scripture, that it maybe kind of sounds like a little peculiar statement to be recorded in God's word that being inspired for him to be. But you know, that's the verse of scripture. Look at it, if you will, from the natural standpoint. Go thy way and eat, go thy way and eat thy bread, drink thy wine. That's not necessarily talking about bread and exactly wine. It's talking about the natural things that our bodies require as we live here on planet Earth, which God provides them all. And if he has, surely we should have eaten with the joy. But then, let's back up again, knowing what the Lord Jesus taught us. Says, go thy way. What way? Who is the way? Where do we go? What way? Go thy way. Go the way that he has said and set forth that we ought to go. We want to go the way that he goes. We want to go to where he's at. Eat thy bread. If you don't eat of my bread and drink of my wine, my blood, I have no part with you. So see, if you have read and studied the scriptures a little bit, this is saying more, and it's saying more to us than just the natural bread and wine, the natural things that we're blessed with here in this life. You know, that's the thing that we fail to do. I know I fail in so many things and here in this life and have my own peculiar ways and so forth. Somebody said something about prayer. In the Lord's Prayer. You know, we ought to all find more comfort and more comfort every time we hear it and think about the 17th chapter of John. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'll never forget a time not too long back that they had just sung the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And there was two or three preachers in the house, and I went to listen totally and had no inkling of a mind that I was going to be called on whatsoever. I was going to resist it and try to stay out of the way for all that worth. But anyway, called on. Well, the only thing that was on my mind was that song, It Is Well With Your Soul. And I said, and I don't know the verse. You go there and read. The only reason it's well with your soul today And the only reason it'll ever be well with the soul of a child of God is for what the Lord Jesus Christ said in that prayer. And when God prayed for you, can't nobody no greater pray for you. And I promise you another thing, that whatever he prayed was answered, is being answered, is going to be answered. And he prayed for you. He didn't. Some people say it was just to the apostle, but read it, and it will tell you real plain. He prayed for you just as much as he prayed for the apostle. There's another thing that we find. Your wife gets all mad. There's a song on a tape that it's a CD or something, and I push it every night when I go to bed. It's mostly church-type religious songs. But it's got a song in there. Will there be any stars in your crown? She gets mad every time they play it. But anyway, I don't know what ought to be in our crown. Is all that we can do and know about our Lord Jesus. That's our crown, just this right here, this hard head. That's the crown that we're going to have. And in it ought to be thanksgiving, memories, gratitude, and everything that we can put in there towards him. That'll be the star that's in our crown. Him and the things of him and the wonderful work that he did in our stead. So as they do you, keep that in mind. God didn't put you here to be sad and so forth. Go your way. Eat your bread. Drink your wine. Go your way. Eat your bread. Drink. Enjoy it. It all comes from God. And if we drink it with that in mind, we'll go back and pay attention to some other words that we don't overdo it. You do all things, he says, in moderation. You know, I don't think there may be occasions and here and there where it maybe says that certain people and so forth shouldn't drink. But then we'll find where certain people were told to drink. It's Timothy. Drink a little wine for your stomach. A little wine never hurt anybody. I don't believe. You know, if you would do that, you're going to take away the communion service. But why do we enjoy that? Because that brings to remembrance again the blood and the body, the bread, his body and his blood, and what it means to us. I've said this so many times, and we're all so guilty of that. And I mention it every time I take part in a communion service. That surely doesn't direct us just once or twice a year when we take communion that we remember him. I say we ought to remember him every awakened minute and second that we can. He's our all in all. You know, look at the union relationship that he's speaking of there in the branch, how close we ought to be to him. Then again in one of the other books, Christ in you. What wonderful words. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And all of this is just, it's too wonderful for me. Lord has been so gracious and wonderful with me. And I just don't know how to thank him and praise him enough. And thank him for the church here in this world. And that might we be of a mind that we see him more than we do the coming together and the gathering, and the fellowship with one another is great and wonderful. That it's a blessing from God, and would we take it that way? Would we thank him for it? Would we do everything we can to increase it and to spend more time together? There ain't a better place to spend than we ought to be, and make every effort as we can, and God says so. We ought to get along with all men as much as is humanly possible. But then I know that I can go back and find many places in the scriptures where we are told to separate ourselves from certain things and certain people. So, you know, sometimes there's even two sides to some of the things that God says that we need to read and to understand. We're told to not judge. But I think surely to goodness you have to. You know, you're making a judgment whether you want to fly angry or whether you want to be reasonable about something, you know. You know, I have learned patience, you know, tribulation, working patience. I've had some hard times here and there, but I've learned to get through them. And, you know, probably a lot of people would have went berserk last night. I'm spoiled. I live in an air-conditioned house, drive an air-conditioned car, work on a farm. We've got air-conditioned trucks and tractors. Well, we went to a little neighbor's ball game last night, and on the way to the ball game, this is at 6 o'clock, I discovered we don't got no air conditioning in the car no more. So I was thinking and wondering all night long. I said, well, I got to do something with that thing. I don't, ain't going to be able to make it in that hot car all the way to Thornton Galvin back. So we left home a little bit early. I said, well, and that just shows that things don't always work out the way I think it's going to work. I said, we leave a little bit early, and I'll just stop in advance down that dying crossroad and again, free on and put a little bit in there. But when I put that thing on there, the gauge lit up and it said, you need to go see an air conditioning man. It's not free on. But you know, I'm still happy. Roll the windows down and let's go.
That's right.
It used to be worse than that.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I don't know, you know, open air buggy and a couple of horses driving it, you know. We say today we got GPS, but you still got to steer the car. Back then, the mule knew how to get to the church. So it was even better sometimes, you know. We're trying to make the world green again. They don't want you to do this. It wasn't like that one time. You know, we had never owned a farm. I was raised on, never owned a tractor. You know, you raised everything you eat. Today, we throw away more in a day than we had in a month, you know. But the Lord's been good to us, and I thank y'all for allowing me to come and be with you. Lady God bless you in the coming year. I hope to see if Brother Forrest is meeting. Everybody have a wonderful day and the rest of the week. And thank you for allowing me to come.